The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, the rat race certainly starts to show on everyone to some extent, but some more than others. Rich girl face is the name given to a certain look that many women are paying through the nose to achieve. Men too are spending more on trying to look younger. But some are complaining that it's another example of the wealthy gaining unfair advantage on those that are less well off. Ro McDermott is a journalist with the Irish Times and Hot Press, and she joins me now. First of all, Ro, this expression or phrase, rich girl face, what is it?
Well, I have a huge problem with the phrase, and I want to be clear from the start, I have absolutely no judgment on people that want to get some procedures done, because I think everybody is under such a huge amount of pressure to conform to increasingly limited beauty standards. And there are systemic social issues that punish people and penalise people who don't try to adhere to these standards. Well, I think the phrase rich girl face, it's basically applying to women who have procedures such as Botox or filler, and the results are obvious, that you can tell that they've had some work done. But the moniker rich girl face, it's a really interesting one, because it kind of implies that we're judging women for not only spending money on their appearance, but the fact that we can tell that they've put effort into their appearance. And these are two things that women have always been judged for. We kind of idolize natural beauty, even though we have such intense beauty standards that very few women can live up to the idea of natural beauty the way it's preferred.
So the phrase is a negative phrase, and as you describe
it's really
it,
judgmental. Yeah,
yeah. You have this sort of social pressure to maybe look a certain way, and then when women give in to that social pressure or participate in that social pressure, they then get slagged off and they're called rich girl face.
It's an absolute lose-lose situation.
No win.
Yeah, we tell women that aging is bad, and there have been multiple social experiments that show if women show signs of aging, if they don't adhere to beauty standards, even if women go into work without makeup, they are deemed to be less agreeable, less friendly, less competent and less trustworthy than women who do wear makeup. And yet
Based on studies or
On a survey of employers and co-workers and their attitudes towards women in the workplace. So you're deemed to be less competent and trustworthy if you don't wear makeup. And then when women put effort into their appearance and try and adhere to these beauty standards, we call them vain and we say that they're being frivolous with their money. So it is an absolute lose-lose standard. But I think there's also an element of classism in the idea of the rich girl face, because we don't judge women who have enough money to spend a lot of money on their face that you won't see the effort, that they just seemingly never age, that they get anti-aging treatments, or they just seemingly stay young forever. But it's when you can tell that they've had work done that then we judge them. So it is this judgment of, we want you to put the effort in, but we never want to be able to tell.
And that is a bit of a change. Am I right in saying that with the development of beauty treatments and even plastic surgery in Hollywood many years ago, the idea originally was that maybe people wanted it to look like they hadn't got anything done. But that has sort of changed now. It's sort of a little bit more, yeah, wear it on your sleeve. This is what I've got done.
Well, I think it's different now, because I think beauty, there are certain beauty standards that tend to prevail over time. So the idea of being skinny, the idea of being white, and whiteness and Eurocentric features are always a part of beauty standards. But for example, during the kind of 90s, this idea was often called heroin chic. It was the idea of being incredibly skinny and pale and wan, and it was this 90s trend. But then in the 2000s, the idea was you had to be very toned and very fit and very tanned, and the idea was that you had enough money to either take a long vacation and get an incredible tan and go to Pilates or these incredibly expensive exercise classes to get the kind of Pilates body. And now it's changed into to have a very incredibly curvy body that's exemplified by people like the Kardashians, and it's this hyper feminized form of looking, and that also applies to people's face. So it's getting a younger looking face with higher cheekbones and larger lips. But again, I just want to say that beauty standards are always caught up in capitalism, so it's the amount of money that you have, and also ideas of race, because it's often white women, because women of colour have often had these features like larger lips and they've been derided for it. But it's when white women try to embody certain types of beauty, but because it's on a white woman, it's acceptable.
It's also related to capitalism in that a lot of people are making a lot of money out of this, because
absolutely.
How prevalent now in Ireland is the question of getting, I suppose, what you might call invasive beauty treatments, and what kinds of things are people getting? How much does it cost?
Well, I think the idea of invasive treatments is also changing, because this is why these these treatments are getting more popular, because before it used to be plastic surgery, so you used to have to go under anaesthetic, it would be an operation. And now with things like Botox and fillers, they're injection, they can be administered, fillers can be administered by an esthetician. For Botox, it needs to be a doctor, but it is a short appointment, there's very little downtime, and the prices can be incredibly cheap. For filler, they can be, you know, a couple of hundred euro, and then the prices go higher depending on the treatments you're getting. So in terms of expenses, they're more accessible to people, but also it's the idea of permanence, in that it's not a permanent thing, they can fade, they can dissolve, which makes it seem more accessible, which can
and
be
a bit,
fine.
You can be a bit more casual about it. It's not the big decision, am I going to get this done or not? People will try it.
Absolutely. But it's also how it's being presented, because a lot of young people in particular will be on social media, such as Instagram, and they're seeing people whose entire livelihood depends on them being attractive and embodying these themes, so looking a certain way. And then they're seeing ads for it, or they're hearing about people just popping in on their lunch break and getting Botox. So it's the idea of it being normalized so rapidly, in a way that beauty standards have always been pushed on women, incredibly invasive beauty standards have been pushed on women, but never every 5 minutes on your phone.
What about men?
Men are also...
Are we spending more money on this type of thing? And
men are getting more treatments. They're getting more Botox, things like Botox to decrease the effect of aging, but they're not penalised in the same way. So, for example, there was a survey done in the UK where it was looking at the beauty premium, how people who are conventionally attractive are paid. And so there was a survey of UK workers, and people who are classed as obese, and I will say that the classing of obese and BMI is also a very problematic way of looking at bodies, but people who are classed as obese earned £1,940 less on average than their co-workers who are doing the exact same work. But then there was also a huge gender gap, in that women who are overweight or obese earn less than men of the same weight, and the gender gap was £8,919. So again, men are feeling pressure, but women are penalised in a way that men are not.
So we're getting off the hook to some extent yet again. Roe McDermott, journalist with the Irish Times and Hot Press, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. We had an interesting text in our discussion about the gig economy. Rory texted in to say, we were talking about the Liam's rat race package, and he says, as Groucho Marx said, life is a rat race and it takes a rat to win it. That's all we have time for this week. The show was produced by Aideen McLaughlin. Research was by Rachel Breslin. Shilini Wheel was on sound, and Lee McGarran was the broadcast coordinator. Until next time, thanks for listening. Enjoy the weekend. Rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far. The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Ulster Bank. For when our sector expertise can help your business succeed, visit ulsterbank.ie/businessmatters.